Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
And here we are again on another Thursday evening. Thanks for being with us. We're going to have some fun this evening with Leah Shapiro, who's going to teach us to fly our freak flag. And we were laughing at how badly I could butcher that phrase. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And today is Groundhog Day. So I could go off on the movie Groundhog, but that would be too easy. I really want to talk about why in the world people think that a groundhog is going to tell them anything. And a groundhog is a woodchuck or a marmot, depending on who you are and what terminology you use. So it's a rodent, right? It's a rodent. What's different about them is that they actually hibernate and they dig these deep nests in the ground. So theoretically, if one of them shows up, it means the ground got warm. And that's where this thing of them knowing when winter is over came from. Isn't that interesting? Look what you can find out on the internet. But the reason I wanted to talk about it is it really speaks to how everybody wants somebody special to give them the answer about what's going to happen in the future. Whether it's the gypsy fortune teller with the crystal ball or a guru or a psychic or a card reader or whoever it is, they want somebody else, all of us want somebody else to just say, okay, this is what's going to happen. And on next Tuesday, you're going to have this good thing or bad thing happen. And just read the future and not have to worry about it. Well, there are people that can tap into that information. And that's pretty interesting and cool and exciting. But they're really tapping into an energy field that has all the information about everything. So all the work that I do, all the work that anybody that's doing anything that's in what scientists call non-ordinary reality, are tapping into that field of energy. The problem with predicting the future, of course, is that the future is probabilities. The only thing that anybody can predict about the future is if you keep moving energetically in the direction you're going, the probable outcome is this. And you can change that just by making different decisions, by changing what you're thinking about, what you're saying to yourself. So all kinds of ways to change it. But what's more to the point, I think, is that everybody can tap into that information. Everybody can tap into that energy. Everybody can come up with a way of getting answers from that unseen larger consciousness to inform their decisions and help them work through almost anything. So people think you need to be psychic and see cool things and hear cool things and all that stuff. And very few psychics actually are clairvoyant or clairaudient, able to see or hear. Most will have a feeling about it. They'll feel it in their body, or they'll feel it in a particular part of their body, and they've learned how to decode those messages. Or it comes in as a thought that just drops into your head. And most people would take those thoughts and just go, that was weird, and they just keep on walking. And somebody who's trained themselves as a psychic knows that when it comes in, you need to ask other questions. Oh, that's interesting. What's that about? Tell me more. What's going on here? Oh, really? Is it going to work like this? Is it going to work? You know, you have a conversation with this random thought and allow more and more information to come in. Some people are empaths. They will pick up the feelings, emotions, even thoughts of the people around them. And if you don't know you're an empath and you're picking all this stuff up, it's life's really hard because you're trying to resolve all of these feelings and thoughts of other people. And you don't know that they're not yours. You can't resolve other people's stuff. So you need to learn to say, is this mine or is this somebody else's? So every year I go to the American Society of Dowsers convention and usually talk about ghosts, among other things. But One of the things I love about dowsing and dowsers is it's a way of tapping into all this information that doesn't require you to be psychic. You don't have to have any expanded senses. So your sense of hearing doesn't have to be broader than most people. Your sense of sight does not have to include things that other people don't get. Use a tool like a pendulum, or there's a whole bunch of other tools, and you learn to ask questions in such a way that you can get a yes or no answer with this little simple biofeedback device, and you can get all kinds of information. People are doing amazing, amazing work and have been doing it for centuries using this simple little tools. So instead of wondering what the groundhog, woodchuck, marmot is doing this morning and what it ate for breakfast or whether it saw its shadow, my suggestion to you, if you're curious about this stuff or you want to know the future or just have more information, is that you start developing your own sense of how you tap into that information and into that energy so you can do it yourself. And that's today's metaphysical musing. So let's talk to our guest, Leah Shapiro. Are you with us, Leah?
I am. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Leah was introduced to me by a mutual friend, Kelly Sparta. And we discovered that there's all kinds of things to talk about, and it would be fun to talk about them on the show.
Yeah.
So your business is Defy the Box, which yes. I just love. You know, my thing is, box? What box? The box is in a room in a house on a street that I don't live on anymore. What box? On a good day, of
mm-hmm.
course. nothing is always that way all the time.
Right.
So that's one of the concepts that you throw around. The other one is flying your freak flag. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about, you know, the way you look at this stuff and what your approach is.
What really inspired me with Defy the Box is I was studying a lot of stuff about beliefs and like how to recognize when you're, you know, when you're caught up in them, how they affect your life. And I was reading Eckhart Tolle's book, The New Earth, and he really digs down into this whole idea that if things are going to change, we really need to question our beliefs, like on a fundamental core level, because there's so many things going on, like beneath our level of consciousness that affect who we are and how we show up and what we think is possible. And that idea just really struck me. And that, like, I feel like it resonates with The Four Agreements, which was kind of like my gateway book to change my life, because there was a point when I was very much in the box. And it just, like, it made me start thinking about how, like, we, especially if you're someone who is unconventional or non-conforming by nature, but we think we're supposed to be something because of all the messages we've been given our whole lives, or based on our familial energy that we grow up with, and we're taking on the ideas and stories of our family and the people around us and our culture and our society. It gets to be really hard to be who you are. It actually takes an act of courage to defy all these stories and these boxes that people try to put you in. And so, like, that really meant a lot to me, and I find that that was a big part of my journey for a long time. And then I kind of moved into the idea of flying your freak flag, which to me means really owning, loving, and accepting all of who you are, not just, like, your strengths and the things that are awesome about you and that you're good at, but the things that are weird and freaky about you and the things that other people tell you, oh, you shouldn't do that, that's bad. Like, don't be so controlling. Don't be so nosy. Don't be so concerned, you know, or, like, sit down and calm down, you know. Like, all these things that people, like, made us wrong for growing up are really, like, our superpowers, I think. They're parts of us that if we embrace them and use them, they're in a lot of situations our biggest asset. from an energetic perspective, when you love and accept yourself, all parts of who you are, and you're not afraid to, like, hang them out there for the world to see, you become a really powerful beacon. Like, energetically, you're, like, super shiny because you're loving yourself, you're feeling good. That's what you're putting out there. It's so expansive. That energy is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it helps us tap into, like, what our lives can be, you know, like, when we're accepting ourselves, we are allowing ourselves to be in alignment with who we really are. Like, that's when you're going to find your most success and happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment in your life. So,
absolutely. So
yeah.
you use a coaching model, and who are the people that would find you and get coached by you?
Well, I like to work with rebellious, free-spirited, rule-breaking entrepreneurs. Yeah.
I love that word, rebellious.
It feels good, doesn't it?
And it does. And my girlfriend, the editor, went, wait a minute, that's not a word.
So?
I was like, yeah, yes it is.
We're defying the box.
Right, exactly. So how do you help people? Well, first of all, somebody who's completely in the box is probably not going to find you.
Right.
They're not going to be ready to play the way you play.
Yeah, they wouldn't be attracted to me.
Right. So how do you help people get in touch with all that and start flying the freak flag?
Well, I broke it down into, like, these three key aspects to flying your freak flag, especially in your business. Plus, there's some belief busting that needs to happen. But I think that there's three key aspects to flying your freak flag. One, owning your gifts, knowing why someone should choose you over everyone else, and, like, feeling good about what you bring to the table. And really being certain of that, feeling good about what your superpowers are, I like to say. And that's the loving and accepting yourself piece, and knowing yourself. Because, don't you think, like, to me, that's, like, the biggest thing that anyone can do if you want to have a successful, happy life, is to get to know yourself as good as, like, so intimately that you know what you need. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And
yeah.
I you don't know that much about my work, but obviously I do freaky work.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think, like, you need to take a stand for something in your life. To me, that's part of raising your freak flag, is taking a stand for what you believe in and what you offer in your business, and giving people something to rally up around. You know, when you raise your freak flag high, people can see you and they can find you. And,
right,
like, you'll attract the people that resonate with what you stand for, the message that you bring. And I think just who we are as individuals, we each have something really unique and special to share. And the more that we, like, accept that and know ourselves and allow us, like, these things to come forward, like, the more powerful we become. And then I think the last piece is acting from a place of alignment. I think, like, I believe in making the commitment to feel good in my life, and that includes what I do in my business as well. And to me, creating from a place of alignment is vitally important to not just your business, but to your life in general. So
how do you create that alignment? How do you live in alignment?
Well, I think it's, like, really just about feeling, noticing how you feel all the time, what feels good and expansive. You know, that's, to me, when you're in alignment. You feel open, tapped in. Feels good.
Right.
And when you're not, it starts to feel constricted and limiting and like shut down, you're stuck.
Fearful.
Yeah, fearful. Exactly. So I like to help people, like, learn to tune into these things in their lives and start looking for them, because in my experience, most people already have a sense of, like, what their freak flag looks like, and especially unconventional people, but they just never thought they could do it. And that's the thing that holds them back. They don't think they can be who they want to be in their business or in their life. So I like to help people, like, kind of uncover that for themselves and what I call unfurl your freak flag. That's fun.
And you're so good at saying it without tripping over the words, because I have to be careful every time.
I've practiced a lot.
I got that. So give me an example of what a coaching client would experience with you. I know you do an introductory, some kind of introductory conversation with people, right?
Yep, I do. I have, well, the main way I work with people are during Unfurl Your Freak Flag sessions. And then so I give people what I call a free taste, which is an Unfurl Your Freak Flag in 15 minutes experience. I've been doing them, a lot of them this week. And it's so fun. People, like, I love seeing people have that shift. And so what we do, get in there and talk about money, usually, some kind of money beliefs about what's stopping you from going for your dream. Like, a good example would be the guy that comes to me because he is a musician, but he's working in, he's managing a warehouse, and he, like, it's a good job, he makes great money, but he doesn't, like, he feels depressed, and it's just not feeling good, and he's trying to, wants to work on his, like, management skills so it'd be better. But what it really comes down to is he's not meant to be a manager. He's a musician. He just doesn't think he can make money doing it. That's what he's told his whole life. You need to get serious and settle down and get a real job if you want to have a family. And it was killing him. Basically, he made him depressed. He was upset. And so once we work through this problem, like this belief, we get rid of it, and I invite him to think about what would it be like if he was to live life as a musician. How could that work? And like once he started playing in that realm, he totally recreated his life. And within 3 months, he was living and supporting himself as a musician full time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So... for, well, you know, what I'm always curious about with everybody that's on the show is how did you get here? You know, what was your path? Where, what brought you to the place where not only you can do this, but you can help other people do this? How'd you get here?
Oh, God, a long and windy road.
It always is.
Yeah, right? well, I went to school. I always knew I wanted to be in some kind of helping field. My mother was a psychologist, so I thought, I'll be a psychologist. And I went to college, and I worked full-time, went to school full-time. I was always a super overachiever and was really successful in the restaurant business while I was in school. And when I graduated with my degree, I was told, like, the restaurant I worked at was a high-end restaurant in Boston, gave me an offer for a great position, management position with lots of money. And, like, I went for the money. I decided to wait until after I paid off some debt to pursue my life as a psychologist. And I got caught up in the restaurant business, and I was really successful at it. I made a lot of money, and I had unlimited opportunities. But I was miserable. I was cranky and angry and not healthy. Like, I was unhealthy. I was like partying way too much, and I was like totally a consumer. Like, I ate a lot, I drank a lot, I spent a lot of money because I wasn't happy or satisfied. Like, restaurant work was good, but it wasn't my calling. I kept having this desire to help people, and then I saw Dr. Phil on Oprah. I kid you not. Must have been like 1999, saw Dr. Phil on Oprah, and I was like, this is what I want to do. I loved his perspective and the way he would kind of turn things around and be like, okay, so this isn't working for you. What are you doing about it? What's your role in this? And I did some research and found out that he was a coach, and I molded that around. I'm like, I want to be a coach, but I'm not qualified. How could I do this? It was like I was dancing with it but kept running away in fear. And then one day, I was overworked in the restaurant, needing a break. I even said that. My God, I need a break. And I went out that afternoon between my shifts and stumbled off a curb into a dramatic fall into the street and broke my foot and sprained my ankle severely. So I had a break.
You had a break.
Yep, 6 weeks I had a break from work. And during that time, I read the book The Four Agreements and a couple other books like that, and it totally shifted my perspective. I realized that everyone wasn't trying to piss me off or, like, hold me back, and just put me in a new place, a new perspective about that I had control over my life and what was possible for me. So I decided to pursue coaching. And within the next year, I quit my job. I was enrolled in coaching school, and I also did something called the Priestess Path Apprenticeship, which was a women's mystery school. Mm. So I basically shook my whole life up.
Right.
From top to bottom.
Who does that apprenticeship?
Elisa Starkweather.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And so it just changed my life. Like, it totally changed who I was as a person. I let go of a lot of anger. I, like, settled down. I became a lot more peaceful and centered and happy. My life totally shifted, and suddenly I was happy. And then I opened my coaching business. I first started off doing law of attraction coaching because that really, I got turned on to that in coaching school, and it just kept lighting up for me. So I did that for a long time, and then I was looking, like, reading Eckhart Tolle and working with his material and teaching classes about it, and I got inspired to create Defy the Box out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I started working with entrepreneurs because for a long period of time in my business, I was trying to do things in a prepackaged way. I was trying to cram myself into the box of how to run the perfect coaching business. And it wasn't working for me. And the rest of my life, I was really unconventional. And I wrote for a BDSM like newsletter or e-zine online, and like I was really freaky in my life my regular life, and I worked with freaky people, but the way I ran my business was not freaky at all, and it felt hemmed in and stuck, and I was getting some results and not the results I wanted. And then I realized what was going on. Like, I wasn't flying my freak flag in my business. And so I decided to step back and kind of apply my own principles that I worked with my clients onto my business, and it changed everything.
Isn't it amazing how when you do what you would have told somebody else to do, it actually works?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I need to take my own advice.
Exactly. I want to make sure that people have information on how to contact you, because we're going to have a break in a few minutes.
Okay.
And I also want to give out the call-in number, because people can call and join the conversation, ask questions, make comments, or generally give us a hard time.
Okay.
So give us your website again or any other contact information.
My website is www.defythebox.com. And that's really the best place to find me. But you can also find me on Facebook at Defy the Box.
Terrific.
Yeah.
And let me give the call-in number, which we will give several times. It's 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Call in, talk to Captain Bob in the studio, and ask us some questions. So when we get back, I want to get back to, you know, how you do this magical thing with people, how you get things to shift. I want to give people my contact information, which is househealing.com, HOUSEHELING.com. And please join my newsletter, because I'm going to be doing a Valentine's Day special for couples clearings at a deep discount. So you want to get in on that. I'll talk more about it on next week's show. So we just have a couple of minutes left.
I would
we always get into this awkward, we have like a minute and a half, what are we going to say?
Well, you inviting people to join your newsletter reminded me, I just put a new like freebie up on my website called Become a Freak Flag Flying Money Making Machine, and it is a free email series that you get when you sign up for my list. So
cool.
I invite people. Like, when you go on my site, you'll see it right there.
Right, terrific.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break in just a second. And we'll be back on the Farkas Files. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have some more fun here on Empower Radio with Leah Shapiro. We'll be right back.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy.
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year? The majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember,
excuse me, do you know how to get domain in Maple?
Do you have these in a 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day?
How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office...
Any questions?
No.
We clam up. Ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
When do I get my results?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Of humans, but the pervasive and unprecedented destruction of their habitat threatens their very existence. More than 30% of the world's mammals and birds are considered threatened with extinction. We're in the midst of the first great mass extinction to be caused by humans. The only humane solution is land conservation and connecting fragmented wildlife habitats. For more than a decade, the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust has worked with private landowners to protect wildlife by preserving natural habitats and establishing permanent sanctuaries. Creating shelters without walls, the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust takes a unique stand in the National Land Trust community by prohibiting recreational and commercial hunting and trapping on our properties. Those who care deeply about animals must work together to ensure that wildlife will always have the wild places they need to survive and thrive. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or visit Wildlife Land Trust.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Leah Shapiro flying our freak flag. I didn't trip over it. I'm doing really well.
No. Yeah. So I want to know how you fly your freak flag, David.
Well, my work is fairly freaky, and it's an interesting balance for me because I'm doing psychic work that some people don't believe in at all, mm-hmm. and other people who do psychic work basically tell me, no, that can't happen. I go, well... Except there are results. So what are you going to do with that? You know, it's impossible, but it works. I don't think it's impossible, obviously. Mm-hmm. So there's part of me that's working in with realtors and with people that are buying and selling houses who are pretty straight. They just have a problem. And they're open enough to have an alternative solution to the fact that they need their problem solved. You know, some of it's working with people and couples and other folks who are open to this kind of work and applying the same kinds of interventions that I use when I work on buildings. So I get into this thing of how high can I fly the flag in different circumstances. So, you know, if I go to a dowsers convention, I'm not the weirdo in the room. There are people doing stranger stuff than I do. I walk around in Ghostbuster t-shirts every year. That's how people recognize me. But for a lot of other circumstances, it's how do I at least create the patina of a consultant who provides unusual services, you know, and all kinds of other euphemisms to make people more comfortable with something that is, for most people, pretty strange.
Mm.
So it's an interesting dance, and I think it would be a fun conversation for us to have, or, you know, get your feedback on my website and stuff. There are probably ways I could be more out there, but there's also a balance that I need to keep, you know, part of, maybe it's part of my freak flag. There are lots of other people that do what I do, and mm-hmm. some of them are fairly flamboyant. There aren't a lot of people that do it at the level that I do it. I know of maybe 3 or 4 people on the planet that do it. But there are people that do clearing work. And the question is, how far out there do I go with that? But it's also, I don't use any ceremony. I don't use any ritual. I don't wear strange clothes. You won't find me drumming. I just sit down and do it, and I'm pretty geeky about it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how it works. I want to see what the repeating results are. I want to see if anybody else has any other approach and try it to see how it fits in the cracks of what I know and enhances my work. And, well, how do you do that? No, tell me this. You know, that was your throwaway line, but I haven't heard that before. Getting pieces to the puzzle all the time, everywhere I go. I'm a geek about a lot of other things, but, you know, I'm the geeky shaman.
That's your thing.
Well, it's not necessarily that it's my thing. It's just how I do everything.
Right.
You know, I started out as a shop teacher. I was an EMT. I've got all of this other stuff that I've done that melded into making an opening for me to learn the psychic healing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I'm the kid who went to technical high school that takes things apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing because it makes people comfortable.
Right.
Because I don't have the new agey stuff going on. On the other hand, I'm still doing strange stuff.
Right.
So it's an interesting balance. And, you know, basically what I say to people is, you've got a problem. Here's all these audio testimonials on my website of people who have gotten good results by using my services. You don't know what any consultant does once they take the information from you and say they're going off to do whatever they do. They could be standing there, you know, with half clothed with a drum, getting into work. You wouldn't know that. You know, I don't, but they could be. I mean, what does your financial advisor do? You don't know.
Like a pink glitter bodysuit.
Right. You know, they're putting their wet finger up in the air to see which way the wind's blowing.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know what a consultant is going off and doing. So I'm not any more mysterious than the other consultants around, except mm-hmm. that I address different kinds of things. So it's an interesting balance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, regular business meetings and, you know, business networking and stuff, most of the time hasn't worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because people just can't wrap their head around it.
Right.
You know, it's much more referral and based on testimonials of various kinds or word of mouth or search engine stuff on the internet. I'm amazed at how many people find me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you attract them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of flying your freak flag. I know Kelly talks about being magnetic. Kelly and I spoke at an event together, Kelly Sparta, mm-hmm. and we did very similar things just from different perspectives.
Right.
I talk about flying your freak flag, and really that's like what I call becoming super shiny so people can find you, and your signal's really clear, and you're attracting people that resonate with what you have to offer.
Right.
You know, to me, that's the same being magnetic, you know. Or I think in our businesses, the more we own, like if you own, like really own and embrace that you're a geeky shaman, like that's your thing. People who need that balance are going to be attracted to you. They'll see you from like across the country. They'll be like, well, there's something about your site will be shiny to them.
Right.
So someone will introduce them. They'll send them a link to something you're on and they'll find you. And like, that's the point behind flying. Like that's why you want to fly your freak flag.
Mm-hmm.
The more you own and embrace these things that only you can do. And like, that's what's going to make people be attracted to you and hire you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So let's give the call-in number again. I don't know how many lurkers we have out there, but the number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. If you have questions for Leah or for me or just want to do your own metaphysical musing tonight. The whole issue of beliefs is obviously a major part of any shift.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I have been looking for methods for, playing with for a long time, it's easier to unearth the beliefs that people are relatively conscious of,
mm-hmm.
that you can have a conversation about.
Right.
Most of the stuff that's having the most profound effect is in the subconscious below the level of anything that we'll get to it by a conversation. I call it spyware because it acts exactly like spyware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it came in from somewhere else, whoever programmed you. It usually countermands everything you're trying to make your life do. And you can't find it unless you do something specialized to go rummaging around in the dark parts of your consciousness or your computer to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have methods that I use, which I'm happy to talk about. I talk about them all the time, but I'm curious if you approach that stuff as well.
Yeah, I do. I have a couple different methods. One, I'm really sensitive to whether someone's in their truth or not. Like, to me, the energy, it's all about the energy, how they feel. Even, like, I don't have to be in the room with them. I can just tell.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's talking to me if they're lying or telling themselves a lie if they're caught up in something. I can also see the patterns between things. I think we have an amazing resource, and that's our life, our experience, what's happening all around us. And I truly believe that it's a direct reflection of the energy you're embodying. And the energy you're embodying is affected by those subconscious beliefs that you're holding, as well as your conscious belief. But I think more so the subconscious ones, because those are the primary ones that are floating around and really driving your choices and what you expect and how you perceive
right.
things. So I do a couple things. I can feel it when someone's talking to me, and I have a talent for asking questions to make people kind of like go like really dive down underneath what they consciously think and really examine what's going on for them. I think
mm-hmm.
checking in with how you feel is really important. Do you feel expansive or constricted? How does that energy feel? And then looking in your life, the patterns, what you think is possible. You can pick up nuances when someone's talking, like little hints, like that there's something out of alignment there for them. They're talking about things they can't do or something that always happens or something they have to do or they should do. They're supposed to do, like all those things are little like keys and triggers to indicate that there's something going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. I work with people to be like, sometimes we don't need to go unearth the beliefs. We just need to amplify the energy of what they want. So a common question that I ask people is like, so what do you want? How do you want this
right.
to be? Like, what would be really cool? And then get people playing in that realm. Or if you have a vision or something you want to create in your life, then think about what it would be like to already have it and experience it and really get into the feeling of it. Not just,
right.
like, visualize it, but also, how does it feel? Today I was doing a session with someone who wants to be a who's positioning herself to be a big keynote speaker on climate change. And she has been paid to speak. It's like, it's possible. It's not like a pipe dream. It's just she needs to up-level her game a lot for this vision that she has. She needs to expand into this greater way of being. She's been having a hard time with that. And the piece that was missing for her was that she wasn't picturing herself already doing it. Like, what does it feel to be standing on, being on stage? What does that stage look like? Who's in the audience? How does it feel to be standing there? How does it feel at the end when they hand you a check? How much is that check for? How does it feel to accept that check? Who are you hanging out with? Who are your peers? Who do you spend your time with? How does it feel to be in that conversation with these people? I think when you start playing in that realm, you allow yourself to amplify that energy of what you want. And because it's higher vibrational energy, I think it can kind of override and elbow out the lower frequency energy, which is usually the stuff that's holding us back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my story.
And you're sticking to it.
I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, the technique I like using for that is Ho'oponopono. Which takes the position that anything that you're experiencing in the outside world is part of your inner world in some way, that the data is there, or unknown memories, which might not even be yours, are there. And you talk to the data, and kind of to your inner child, and apologize for your part in creating something, even though you're not doing it consciously and you don't know what the data is and all the rest of it. You know it has to be, at least in part, your creation, or it wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
And just working with that sometimes will unravel things in amazing ways. When the movie The Secret came out, and then everybody who actually works with the law of attraction started going, oh,
God,
that's the beginner's level. The thing they don't tell you is if you ask for something that you have no resistance to, that you have no spyware about, you'll get it immediately because you're focusing. So you want a cup of coffee, someone will turn around and say, would you like some coffee? And it's really magical. Mm-hmm. If you ask for something you never were able to have in your life, there's a reason that you have never been able to have it. Mm-hmm. Some belief, some hidden memory, data, something. And when you ask to make that change and have that in your life, you get the opportunity to heal what's in the way.
Yeah.
The problem is that makes your life look like you're going to hell in a handbasket. So it will push every feeling that you don't want up to the surface, and people run like hell.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it took me a long time to learn that when things start going really, really bizarrely wrong, I should celebrate. Because I really pushed on something that was deeply unconscious, and when I finally managed to release it, something wonderful is going to happen. But for the moment, it's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And that being comfortable with weirdness is, you know, a lot of what my training was. But, you know,
I think it's what you're talking about is interesting, because I think it's important to, like, acknowledge and accept your feelings and feel them. You know, I think there's a resistance to feeling things fully.
Yes.
And really allowing ourselves to feel all these emotions and this energy that's moving through us, because that's really what it is, right? Emotions are energy. And I think that what happens is when we're growing, you know, babies come into the world and they're, you know, if you come in here clear and being perfect and whole and complete and knowing what your path is, you know, you're just kind of getting used to being in a body. When my nieces were born, I don't have any children, but I have two nieces, and I used to watch them. I'd be like, wow, it must be so weird being in that body. You could see them like, what is going on here? Like, how does this work? And but then, like, babies are like sponges. They just soak up all the energy of everybody else, and you start learning all these behavior avoidance tactics and behavior patterns based on what people are throwing at you. So, like, it's, I think half our behaviors are based on the avoidance of feeling something that feels overwhelming. Little kids get overwhelmed really quickly because you can't run all that energy yet. But as adults, we can run so much energy. We can feel anything, but we don't want to because we learned as kids we didn't want to get overwhelmed. So we just start squishing it down and squishing it down and squishing it down.
Right.
Yeah.
I saw this wonderful posting on Facebook. It was a cartoon of twins in utero.
Mm-hmm.
And the caption was, "Do you believe there's life after birth? Do you believe in mom?"
That's awesome.
You know, which is, pretty much where we are with everything. It's like we don't really know what this experience is and what happened before and happened after and. You know, what's going on around us? We just have this very small experience, which most mystics and physicists now are convinced is totally an illusion. We're making it up.
Mm-hmm.
How's that work?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, if we're making it all up, why not make it up exactly as you want it to be?
That's right.
Yeah.
And same thing with time. If you don't have enough time, just stretch it.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
You can tell I hang out with people that play with all of this stuff, and I even have friends who have very specific techniques for manipulating time when they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get someplace radically before anyone expects them, you know, really do it in less time. It's not that they're speeding. It's that they modify time.
Right.
And one of the tricks is you can't have a clock that you can see.
Right. Yeah, because that pulls you in, and that's where your attention goes.
Then you'll believe the clock.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Abraham Hicks, and they always talk about, like, don't talk about your reality. Like, don't tell the story of what is. Tell the story of what you want it to be. But most, because what is like a manifestation of what's already, like, already happened, you know, so you can create whatever you want moving forward. But we get so, like, as humans, we're so busy dealing with reality and what's right in front of us. You know, you're supposed to tell the truth and be realistic and, you know, tell it like it is. But what if the way it is sucks? You know, what if you want it to be different? So you got to start telling a new story. And that feels kind of weird, I think, a lot of times. But right. I've seen dramatic shifts happen for people just when they start telling a new story. You got to open up to the energy. Because what you want is right there waiting for you, really. You just got to get out of the way and let it in.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when you introduce your work to somebody, what's your... You know, not the elevator speech necessarily, but your expanded elevator speech. How would you summarize?
Expanded elevator speech.
Expanded it. You know, not the 30-second one, but the 3-minute one.
I don't know. It depends who I'm talking to. I mean, basically, what I say is that I show you how to make money and have the freedom to be who you are. Say what you want to say and share your gifts in the town. Share your gifts and talents the way that feels best to you. There's going to be no selling out, settling, or conforming. You can do whatever you want in your life and in your business. That's usually the way I bring it forward.
Uh-huh.
But I also talk a lot about the idea that, you know, living in the United States, we basically grow up in a society that likes to create sheeple. You know, we're conditioned from the get-go, unless you have, like, progressive parents. But I know my generation, you know, I was born in 1965. You grew up, you went to school, you, like, got up and you followed bells all day. You wanted to fit in and follow the rules. Like, it was all about doing what you're supposed to do. And, like, school was just about regurgitating information. No one ever taught us how to think for ourselves or to... identify our preferences or what we wanted. It was all about what we were supposed to do. And when when you grow up in that environment, it's really hard to tune into like what you want to offer. If you're weird and unconventional or freaky or artistic or creative, like a lot of times like you're taught to hide that as a kid because you're the weird kid. You know, nobody likes you. You act different. People don't want to talk to you or they make fun of you.
Right.
So I think we learn to like hide all that stuff and kind of shove it in the closet and keep that door locked. But if you're like me, that doesn't work. The stuff has to come out. It's more painful to keep that door shut. So I think it's really important to like give people permission to be who they are and to teach them how to embrace who they are and identify their preferences and what works for them and own and embrace everything about who they are, even the parts that they have been deemed wrong in the past. Because to me, like what I often see, those are your biggest selling points, especially in your business.
Right.
You know, you being like the weird geeky shaman, that's what sets you apart. So like being able to own those things.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have events going on. Do you have any other special things going on that people can plug into?
Well, right now I'm just focusing on doing the Unfurl Your Freak Flag sessions. This is like a new, like this is the first week I've had them out. And I'll be doing them continuously. This is the way I want to work with people. And it took me a while to actually get to this place where I knew this is how I wanted to work with people. And I'm already having great results with them. And I'm offering people, as I said earlier, a free taste of what an Unfurl Your Freak Flag session would be like. And that is a 15-minute experience where we, like, jump right in. Like, I'm pretty, like, let's do this kind of coach. I don't want to talk about the weather and have this big, you know, 10 minutes about, you know, where you went skiing yesterday. Like, I want to dive into how you feel, what you believe, what you want in your life and in your business, what you feel called to bring into the world. And so we have those 15-minute experiences. And then also, now my thing is all about helping people become a freak flag flying, freedom-loving, money-making machine. And so I have that freebie on my website.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So let's give your contact information one more time.
Okay. You can reach me at www.defythebox.com. And if you want, you can shoot me an email at leah@defythebox.com as well. And I love to hear from people. I'll answer your emails, I promise.
And your contact information is on the Empower Radio site with the information about my show, and it's also on my blog. Mm-hmm. So people that are plugged into any of those can find you there as well. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for being on. This has been great fun.
Thank you for having me.
Continue this conversation at some other time.
Mm-hmm. I look forward to it.
Thank you. And I want to give people information about what I'm up to. You can find my information at househealing.com, HouseHealing. Look at the contact page, and cleverly hidden there is all my contact information with every conceivable technology to contact me. And as I was saying, we're going to have a Valentine's Day special, which will be up on the blog probably over the weekend. It's a couples clearing. So if what's actually interesting about couples clearings is whether you want to get closer to your partner for something like Valentine's Day and make it very romantic, or whether you're struggling with separating from someone, the issues in terms of the healing involved are pretty much the same. It's cleaning everything up so that you can see what's going on and decide what you're doing. Make your choices about it. So that will be posted shortly, and I will be talking about it on next week's show. Next
that
week
sounds really interesting, actually.
Well, we should talk about it because it may be really useful for some of your clients.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And next week, my guest is Christina Pratt, who has a shamanism school. And I'm very curious about her work. She has a book about shamanism and
has a school of shamanism. So we're going to have a very good time next week. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Thanks so much for being with us. And my name is David Franklin Farkas, and I approve this message.